today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike here. Says Rob is very dark today. Do you mind helping him out a little bit, please?
She'll agree with me. Yeah. Does she agree? Does she
what
agree?
Do you think? Is it because of the dark tones? The sheer amount of fabric absorbing the light?
So I got to know, Oscar, is this about lighting or is this about me being fat? Is it about my shirt? What is it? Can we specify the way you want to be a scab picker today?
Meanwhile, Peloton is saying he spent the previous 20 years drinking and smoking. It's very unlikely that the Peloton probably extended his life.
All right, we have to take a break. That's funny. Maybe I'll go into the barber and I'll be Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Well, I guess somebody's got the Christmas critties, you know, and just walk in and go like that. Hey, how you doing? Hey, well, fantastic. Well, I guess somebody got their finger. Hey, who put their finger in the light socket today? Huh? All right, looks like you're having a tough day.
Mike, bring in some cookies in a little box.
Here you go.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hey.
What?
Sometimes at the beginning of the show, I weigh whether to say something, but... Kim,
what?
It's so minor.
Fine.
Can we not pony the beginning of the show every day? Can we just go, ready to go, bam, 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 instead of... It's just slow enough to... It's like when you're...
Okay, I got it, Mike. You know what? Tomorrow... Pony will actually turn the light on in his deep, dark control room.
Yeah, we can do a visual
gag. And he will do this.
Yeah.
He'll point.
Yes.
And then we'll do it.
Yeah.
Easy.
Very good.
Easy peasy.
Well, it's
minor, but I see what you're saying.
It's I like, do too.
Are we ready
is it
to
just
fight?
A little? Is it just a little longer than it should be? Is it just
no,
a little?
It's if you're about to fight.
Fight.
Right?
And fight, then, fight, fight.
And then someone at the corner, like someone that just you know isn't rooting for you, says, good luck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
very accurate.
Or Mike, what would relate to me?
I know exactly what you mean.
To relate it to me, and it was something we used to do each other in high school, is we would be in the wings if we were like at a rehearsal for a show, because I was a theater kid. We go,
right.
Psst, act.
Right.
It's like total.
It would be like, a director, and you've got the biggest scene of your movie day, and the director goes, okay, we're recording, and go. That's it.
So tomorrow, no pony, just point.
Well, yeah, he just has to, his delivery has to be, when we come back, we'll be live.
Yes.
And then that's it.
And that's it. We can correct it. And you know what?
Look, I picked on him enough.
That is so not minor. That's
great.
Huge. It's got to be done
great.
Right.
Just that
right.
Little... You know, you're
Matt,
in the gate.
What do you think?
I think it takes time to start our various live streams.
Here we go.
Blah, blah, blah.
We know microchips in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, maybe you can start the stream when you leave early from the fruitcake packing.
Oh.
You know what?
Oh, he left early. Sick burn.
Sick
I wasn't
burn.
There, so I'll let Rob burn.
Well, we'll get to all of this later, including my son, who's really got the Christmas spirit now. Let's bring in our talking head, shall we?
Oh, good.
Isaac Gonzalez. Isaac Gonzalez is a 40-year-old lifelong Sacramentan who is a loud and proud supporter of his California city. That's wonderful. He is married since 2009 to... He doesn't look like he's out of high school, for God's sake.
Boy's a child.
Love his background.
He has a daughter, Madeline. She's 10, and a son, Ryan. My God. We'll get to your youthful looks in a minute. Son, Ryan, 6, who basically doesn't remember life before COVID. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, right.
He has 3 dogs, Abby, Marie, and Pete. Isaac owns Diesel, which is a consulting firm specializing in community outreach with a focus on cultural competency. Fun fact, Sacramento is one of the most diverse cities in America. Well, I like diverse cities.
Yes.
That's awesome. He is a weekend TMOS binge listener who started with us in 2002, thanks to the guys at the sign shop. Lots of sign companies like our show. He was amazed that James Gandolfini and Harry Morgan would be on a radio show like that. He has been with the podcast since day one. He is a bonus show subscriber and a fruitcake supporter. He loves Charlie.
Who doesn't love Charlie?
Yay, Charlie.
Wee! Omicron.
Oh, Charlie, have you been boosted, Charlie?
What's that?
Never mind.
Isaac is an AFOL. Yes. And he has an official AFOL title. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes.
Isaac does an impressive amount of charity and volunteer work, including being the drop-off lane guy at the elementary school. He will entertain some questions. That's done by teachers at my kid's school.
Yeah.
He loves the 24/7 TMOS live stream, and his favorite part of the show is that we show growth in our emotional maturity. As evidenced in older episodes versus today. Oh, no. Yeah, I was angry for a while. And he once visited Sacramento's sister city in China. Intrigued? You should be. And now here's Isaac Gonzalez. Isaac, thank you for... Oh, my God. I was so busy looking at you. I didn't look in back of you at that,
that
incredible...
Bathroom.
Toy collection. Is that in your own home? Is that your toy collection, Isaac?
Well, good morning, everybody. And yes, this is my toy collection here. You are in my home office. And thanks to the pandemic, I had more than enough time to set things up the way I finally would like.
Yeah.
So this is a small portion of my Lego collection behind
me.
I see
Soundwave. I see Optimus Prime.
Oscar must be so jealous.
Fantastic.
Oscar, I'm not can't jealous. Stand
I
right
I
now.
Celebrate this man.
Wow.
Jeez. And then you've got AFOL mic. Would you like to take a guess?
Oh, my God, it's a two-shot.
Look at that.
Yeah,
two-shot.
Yeah. Well, I have a three-shot set up in here. But this is a great game. It's a really good video.
This might be the best. Look at the Mike O'Mara logo on the monitor up there.
Would you like to fly to Mike O'Mara's house in Florida and build this for him?
Yes. Unless he wants to sell his house. I mean, this is a small fortune right here, but absolutely.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Wow. Look at that.
It's wonderful. Very impressive.
This is your home office? This is in your domicile?
Yeah, so I live in a pretty small house here in Sacramento. It was built post-war for the GIs coming home, right? You know, we had a big, big housing boom. There was not enough places for people to live, and this was farmland. This was actually a hop field where I lived, built in 46. It was a small 2-1 when we bought it in 08, and now it's actually a 3-2. We did a major remodel project right before the pandemic, thank God.
Does that mean two-bedroom, one-bathroom to a three-bedroom, two-bathroom? Okay, very
exactly.
good.
Exactly. That's exactly what that means.
Did you really not know that?
Office.
Hold
on
a second.
I just verified. I've never heard the phrase before. I noodled it through.
I think everybody figured that out.
Yeah, 3-2 and a 2-1.
2-1, yeah. That's exactly what that means.
Well, what else could it be? What else could it be?
It could be a jackass sitting next to me at a table.
Do you
guys
have the lights off today, by the way?
No,
are the lights off
on.
In your studio?
Yeah, lights are on.
Yeah, beautiful.
Rob seems like he's in the dark.
It's just the
Rob
color
doesn't
of
seem
my
lit.
Screen.
Do you mean
it's
mentally? Or?
You know what? I am so obsessed now with how good you look. You don't do a podcast every day, do you, Isaac?
Not every day, but actually I did start doing podcasts in 2011 and did it for a while as a consultant. And I used to do them remote and, you know, at home. I am on a board today. I do have a microphone. So this room originally was my podcast studio, but I don't do podcasts anymore. I like listening now. I don't
that
like
is,
making them anymore.
I mean, it looks so good.
Beautiful.
In there.
Really
and
does.
The video is just so, it pops.
Well
it truly,
done.
Truly pops.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
And Rob looks like he's, you know, he's Hal Holbrook in All the President's Men standing next to the pillar in the garage.
Right.
You know,
follow
I'm
the money,
serious.
Mike.
Look at, am I the only one looking at your shot? I am.
Yeah, Rob is. Look, I don't want to be rude, but
yes, you do. I it's mean, all that you live for.
Look at the shirt he's wearing. For God's sakes,
love the
you know
two
I mean?
Shot here that Isaac's got. Cool.
Yes,
that
is Isaac, so again, this is my garage, and it's about 10 feet wide. I don't know why. In 46, did they make cars small? Because you can't really fit a car in here. So I turned it into my office years ago. Luckily, it's got sheetrock and all that. But you know, the pandemic, right? The pandemic provided time to
wonderful.
Do projects. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely
so,
gorgeous.
You just
this
gave
was
me
kind of
like
haphazardly put together.
Oh my God! You just gave me the idea. You just gave me the idea.
Build a studio
oh my God.
In your garage?
Yeah.
The garage.
Yeah.
The garage.
The
man.
Garage.
You'll never hear the lawnmowers out there, ever.
That's right.
We can soundproof it.
We. Please.
No. And then I could put a golf simulator in there.
That's the way we want to do, right?
Oh my God, my ideas. This is what
the podcast.
It's next level.
It is about the podcast. Oh, shut up,
Oscar.
It's
about his simulator. He's always wanted.
No, I'm just
starting fights first thing in the morning. I love it.
Oh man, TrackMan. And anyway, let's get back to you. That you just got me thinking. I mean, that is just so very cool that you're in that room. I think that's fantastic.
And in such a small house, you know, we try to make every square inch of this house fit. It was 1,000 square feet when we moved in. It's about 1,400 now. But with the four of us people and then three dogs, you know, it's not a lot of wiggle room. And on the pandemic, we were right on top of each other. It felt like for a long time. Thank God we did the addition. But you know, you just got to make the most of what you have. And like I
think
about
that is
years.
So cool. And, you know, we always talk about space
Mike
here.
Mike says Rob is very dark today. You mind helping him out a little bit, please?
She'll agree with me. Yeah. Does she agree?
What do you think? Is it because of the dark tones? The sheer amount of fabric absorbing the light?
So now I got to know, Oscar, is this about lighting or is this about me being fat? Is it about my shirt? What is it? Can
there
we specify the way you want to be a scab picker today? Because
Isaac,
I just want to know where I can focus.
We have a guest
not
that I'd like to talk to.
Not my fault. He's the jackass
I know. I just thought, did I say anything about fat other than I thought your light was low today?
No, I just, you know, I try not to honor when he's being that way.
I understand.
And then you just, you know, pick.
I would like to talk to our guest.
Oh, hold on.
His legs.
Is that Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon's walking around.
I hate to
take a moment.
Do you have any singles?
No.
That is a fit woman right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, back. I'm sorry, Oscar. I apologize.
No, she's working on the lighting.
Isaac, back to you. So your youthful looks. You look, obviously people have told you before, you're the father of a...
A 10 and a 6-year-old.
A 10-year-old, but you look like you're a freshman in college. What is the deal with that? Have you always been youthful?
Is there a lot of sympathy out there for people who say they hate being told they look young? Because I'm not crazy about it. I mean, I hate it, and then I don't hate it. But I walk into a room, and people dismiss me right away. Hey, Junior, how you doing? What school do you go to? What you up to? You know, sometimes you get mistaken as a high school kid. And, yeah, I'm 40 years old. I'm 40 freaking years old.
On with him for his pre-interview, the first thing I said, and, you know, it's not polite to say, God, how old are you? And I actually stole a joke from him. He said he sleeps in Tupperware.
Every night.
So, if you were in Hollywood, you would be, I mean, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be career extending right there. But I mean, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, and I know I can imagine being 40. You know, you've had it all the way through your 30s, and now you're 40. But I will tell you, as you get older, it will be something you enjoy because I think that will be cool. Have you ever sported any facial hair? Have you ever tried to?
I've done the full beard, the Flavor Saver, all that. That does add on a couple of years, you know, obviously. But no, I like to keep it clean. Let's keep it tight.
Okay, all right.
Congratulations.
So,
well done.
This is you're an interesting guy.
You
were
right.
Go ahead.
You're right. There was a light out. You knew
okay.
it. You knew right
Thank
away.
You.
Yeah,
you're Thank like, you very much. Eyes. Thank you. I appreciate
and
it.
And nobody here in the studio knew it at all.
No.
How do you know down there and we don't know up here? Isn't that a big question?
It's called paying attention.
Thank you.
Engaged in the moment. I read your job, and Diesel is a consulting firm specializing in community outreach with a focus on cultural competency. I'll start with that. Please to explain cultural competency, because I have no idea what the term means.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. It's something that people obviously don't think about a lot. But so I work in the community space, helping out different nonprofits and other organizations that work with people from different socioeconomic backgrounds. And a lot of the times when cities will go out or other organizations, they'll neglect to think, you know, hey, you know, how does a single mother of two, get across town to go to a board meeting to discuss a subject that's really important to their children? They don't bring into the cultural competency equation, how do people actually engage? So what I do as a consultant...
Why are you... Hold on. I'm sorry, Isaac.
I'm sorry, and I thought you would
Rob,
see it, Mike.
The non-listener of the group. What is it?
Mike, because...
You can't be a professional. My wife was trying to get...
She slithered across the console.
Yeah, but there was a wonderful message being given, and Rob, you gotta read the room. Like, he's literally talking about something super important. and the person who's doing your job and Pony's job and my job is leaving the room.
Looks like a kid. Start again. Culture of comedy. So I get it by even that first part of you're talking right. about having the knowledge that everyone is not able to call mom, call the babysitter, and get to a school board meeting where something has to be decided. And cultural competency is the awareness of people in other walks of life, in other worlds, in other cultures that are, you know, struggling to get it done.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, sometimes the barriers between participation are physical, where literally it's on the other end of town and you don't have transportation and you can't get there. Other of the times, it's about trust. Some communities only have trusted ambassadors where they listen to their clergymen, they listen to their elders, they listen to specific people on the television if it's in language media that's being produced. And these things are really important because, like you said earlier, like I noted with Rob, Sacramento is a very, very diverse city. We have people from all over the world. We have the largest population of Afghan refugees are in Sacramento right now in the whole entire nation. So, you know, and I've been lucky to do so many great outreach projects in so many different communities and just really realize that it's important for us to, you know, not always look through our own lenses, but try to put ourselves in other people's shoes if we really want to do meaningful outreach, meaningful engagement, and get people to come to the table and make our city a better place. So I've been very blessed to work in that field for the last almost 10 years.
I want to dwell on this for just a minute, because you know what? As you were explaining that, and I kind of thought that's what it was going to be, the cultural competency and being aware of that and having diversity. I remember when I owned my little pub, O'Mara's out in Manassas, I remember being very happy about the level of diversity that existed in just a saloon. That was my frame of reference. Flash forward to where I live now, I've always talked about people. I think people can be at their absolute worst when they travel in packs. When you've got a like-minded group of people that come from identical backgrounds, socioeconomic, racial, everything, and they're all together, that you can get some very bad. And I think one of the problems that we have in my great state of FLA is that there are two distinct communities that exist. And the old people, primarily white down here, you know, don't experience anything else other than that all the time. And the only experience they have with other cultures is when they look at a day like we have today. They are, you know, I live in one of these gated communities. They're putting mulch down. They have hundreds of people in the community today that are doing that. And that's it. And I think that's why you get this just ridiculous attitude people have. And, you know, I'm sorry to go off on this for a second, but my old man just always said back then, and I mean, he would have been well over 100 years old. He said, the only way that things are going to get better in the United States is if we do this. If everybody is together, that means socially, that means, marriage, that means everything.
It's a level of education. And it's not about being woke. It's just about, frankly, opening your eyes and realizing that the country that was 50 years ago is not the country it is today.
Right, right. And it's going to continue to become more and more diverse.
Yes.
And I just think people my age have to wake up and smell the... And I really, voice kind of quaver there like an old man. My age.
And the great news is, once you begin to accept this diversity and welcome it and embrace in your city, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold, you get great food. So Sacramento's got great food. Man, you go down any different street and you're going to get, you know, good Vietnamese food, good Russian food, good Mexican food. Afghani food's coming in 20 years, I'm sure, once all those refugees settle in and make this place their home and permanent. Like, you know, it's a wonderful experience. The diversity of experiences is a beautiful thing. It shouldn't be feared. It should be embraced. And once you do allow that to enter your soul, your heart, I mean, I think you have a better life experience for it. So we're really lucky here in Sacramento to have that.
And that's that been kind of the work you've done for most of your career?
Well, that's what I specialize in, but I've worked in PR, marketing, communications, media development. So about 12 years ago, actually, you know, I was working in a warehouse, like really busting my hump during the recession. And I started writing articles and producing content, producing podcasts on my own. It was like when like that whole kind of environment of community-based journalism was really taking off. And, you know, I kind of made a little niche for myself here in the city of Sacramento, got well-known pretty quick, and was hired by a large nonprofit to help other people do this, to help people people like me do this. And a lot of that engagement was with youth, which is really awesome. I got to work with a lot of the great youth in our city over the past decade and watch them grow up and become, you know, really remarkable people.
Well, that's great, and we're glad to have you as a listener. So what is Sacramento's sister city in China? Where is that?
Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful experience that was. So Sacramento's sister city in China is Jinan, which if you're in Beijing and you go about 2.5 hours north on a bullet train, you will reach the sister city of Sacramento, Jinan, the city of springs. So we had a delegation of people, and I was invited by one of our council members to attend that delegation for a week back in 2018. What a remarkable experience that was. Such humble people. The history is really incredible to go to a city that's 3,000 years old and realize like the permanence of it, the history behind it, just the reverence. And then I got to go to Khufu, which is nearby, and that's the birthplace of Confucius. And I got to walk in Confucius's garden and see his temple. Got to go to Shanghai. Got to go to Disneyland in Shanghai, which was really cool. So that was a really phenomenal experience. And I still work with that sister city organization again with the youth to kind of just encourage them to continue spreading the cultural ties. You know, America-Chinese relations are really strained right now, but people are people. And when you get to a place, you don't talk to the government, you talk to people, and you realize we all have experiences where we can learn from each other. It was the most eye-opening thing I probably did my entire life going to China.
Do you get an impression when you go, and Oscar, you travel to China
yes.
too.
Yeah.
When you talk about this tennis player, and that's the big story that I've been following with the tennis organizations that are canceling tournaments in China because apparently the young lady, the Chinese tennis player, that alleged that she was raped by a government official and she's just gone completely off the grid. Mm-hmm. Do you, I've never asked you this, Oscar, either. I'll ask both of you guys. The sense of that Big Brother is watching, the sense of China repressing, you know, its people, you know, I've always wondered what that vibe would be like. And if that was there as someone who was an American getting off a plane that looking around, if they could get that, the feel of things in the
I can't speak for Isaac. But you feel it, even prior to the pandemic, processing your passports, because when you travel, to a, you know, the Caribbean or you travel South America, even slight authoritarian governments don't have the process that you have to get just to get a visa to get into China, and then getting off the plane in China, at least in Beijing. There are so many cameras and so that you can be pulled off to the side. And if you remember, at one point, I traveled to China with Tomo. And, you know, in a past life, Todd had some pretty high security clearance. And we were 100% ready for them to pull Todd to the side and then me to cool my heels for a few hours.
Oh, because of his ties?
Yeah, just getting into the country. It is very different. You feel
it. You did it more recently. What was your experience like, Isaac?
Same thing. I believe we landed in some city outside of Beijing. Sorry, excuse me right now. And same feeling getting off the plane, feeling like, you know, hey, it's a retina scan, fingerprint scan. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm in the system now. Here I am in China. And, you know, we were always, you know, very polite to mind our P's and Q's. I walked through Tiananmen Square with our tour guide who spoke about the massacre, which I was surprised that would actually happen, that they would acknowledge it there. Our tour guide at least did. Very nice man.
He was caned afterwards. You don't know that.
Yeah. Well, God, I hope not. But he was so cool. But, you know, there was actually one of my last mornings in Jinan. I had intended to wear a bunch of Sacramento shirts and take pictures in front of landmarks and send them to all my friends with their nonprofits. Like, hey, like I'm in China. I wore your shirt. One morning, I was like, I'm running out of time. So I woke up at 4 in the morning, rode a little like rental bike around town and kept switching shirts and like in front of different landmarks in the city. I was the only one out. And I realized, I'm on a file somewhere. There's cameras everywhere. And some poor Chinese analyst is going, who is this American brown kid going around all these landmarks, taking off his shirt and taking pictures? What is going on? So I'm sure there's some poor analyst is still trying to figure out what I did that day.
That's great. Yeah. So funny.
All right. Well, you know what? Like we always do when we have a talking head on here, what got you into the show? You obviously were listening on the radio, and then you followed the podcast, and you've been with us since the beginning. What is it about this show for a smart 40-year-old that gets you going with this show?
Well, ever since I was a little tyke, I've always been kind of obsessed with media, television news, just media production. And I always had a Walkman in my pocket, always had an earphone in my pocket, always listening to something. And so when I heard your show on a signed production line back in 02 or so that the guys would play in the warehouse, and I would listen to this really funny show cracking me up on Sports 1140 in Sacramento and hear all these great guests come in, I'm like, what is this show? I've got to listen to it. And I got to say, I think I made some employment choices back then based on whether or not I would be able to listen to Don and Mike in the afternoons in Sacramento. Like, if I can't listen to the show, I don't think I really want that job. It was a really big, like, make or break for me. So I always had a radio in my pocket, always listened to you guys. When you transitioned to the Mike O'Mara show, I was listening then too, was working in another warehouse setting, and I was like, oh man, I better get good signal in here. I can remember when the miracle in the Hudson happened, when Rob told his story about his son beating cancer. Like, I can remember exactly where it was. Oh, wow. When so many amazing things happened to your show throughout the years. So, and I remember where it was the day you guys launched your podcast. And congratulations on your anniversary. I was a listener since day one. So, and as Rob said now, Rob probably told you in the pre-interview, now I listen on the weekends because I'm getting older.
Yeah.
I'm finding, like, I can't distract myself as much, and I want to listen. You know, I want to listen intently. So I start usually Saturday morning. I'm usually done with the bonus show by Saturday afternoon. And then I listen to the live app, which is fun to hear random shows.
I love binging. I love that. Yeah, I don't mind binging at all. I think that's kind of cool. Getting back to the incredible amount of stuff you have. Do you buy, sell, trade, or do you just collect? Look at this. Yeah. Look at this room. It's awesome. Amazing. It really is.
So I'm going to point here. This over here is called 6080, Castle 6080. That was built in 1983. That was the set that I got addicted to as a three-year-old.
Is that a Lego set?
It's a Lego castle that's on the wall over there.
Adult fan of Lego.
I just zoomed in on it a bit so you can see it a little
I've
more.
Seen Anywho, that Statue of Liberty Lego. I've seen that all over the place. That's pretty cool.
So when my daughter was about 4 years old, she got a Lego set for her birthday. And it woken up something in me. I came out of what many AFOLs call their dark ages, where I suddenly realized, hey, I'm an adult with disposable income. I want to build again. And I kind of got on a tear. And enough time went by that I found out we locally have a Lego club. It's called an RLUG, a recognized Lego user group, which means they're sanctioned by Lego officially. They're recognized and they receive support from Lego. And I'm not the best, like, sophisticated builder, custom builder, but obviously I have a collection, but I'm really good at running a meeting. And so within a certain amount of time, people said, you should run this thing. And I was like, okay, sure. So I've been the president for almost 4 years now of this club, and we do really big displays at, like, toy fairs and conventions, which is a lot of fun. Pre-COVID, of course, we've just kind of put our toe back in the water this last month with some local shows. And you know what's really awesome is actually we get a lot of kids on the spectrum that are really into Lego. Yeah. It's almost how they communicate with the world. They have a hard time verbally speaking or communicating with people, but they can build. They can build amazing things. So we make a space for them in our meetings and in our club to express themselves. And that's like one of the most proudest thing
That is awesome. That is awesome. So I'd like to. I know people that are close to me that I'd like to share that information with.
I'm sure there's a club in your region that you could go to.
It would help him communicate, don't you think?
This is love.
This is love.
Look at these blocks.
Look, I built a golf simulator.
They're not talking about my kid. They're talking about me, of course. That's
Is Lego still an independent company, or have they been absorbed by a big toy conglomerate?
That's correct. They're a family-owned company, and with that, they hold a lot of creative control.
That's
great. You know,
they're doing the absorbing, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Absorbing money. Am I right, ladies?
I'd love to buy Lego stock, but they don't offer it.
Supply chain.
And so I'm a big, as you can see here, I got a lot of robots, got a lot of architecture sets. I like to build a little bit of everything. And I'll tell you, truth be told, it's a bit of a stress reliever for me. A lot of the projects I work on are very high stress. I work on a lot of COVID outreach projects, a lot of projects with people really dealing with some difficult experiences. When I open a Lego set and I'm working on it, that's the only thing I'm really thinking about, unless Michael Merrill's in my ear and I'm listening to a show. But so it's a stress reliever. It's just an ability.
You know, I find it as when I can sit down for 3.5 hours on a Christmas morning and put together a Lego pirate ship, I totally get it. There's something about Lego, and I hate it. They don't need any promotion from this show.
Certainly
God
not.
Knows that. But the idea of well, this is the question that'll answer. Why am I promoting Lego? Because I'm curious. In all the Lego sets you've put together, you ever had a missing piece?
I have had a few missing pieces, and there's actually been a few sets that have gone out to the store to retail, and then LEGO has acknowledged that they are deficient and they don't meet up their quality standards, and they'll send out a repair kit and say, you know, hey, you bought, actually, for example, one of the most notorious ones is WALL-E, which is over here, kind of hard to see in the mix.
WALL-E, right.
WALL-E yeah. set, and he came out of the box with kind of a gnarly neck that really didn't hold up his big old head, and LEGO sent out a fix for it. It said, if you want the fix, just email us, we'll send it to you. They didn't say, give
Saw
us
they're about
seat, prove
the
it.
Quality control.
Here you go.
Yeah, and they do that.
You know, they got the margins to afford it. Trust me. So,
and the last thing I wanted to ask you before we let you say hi to anybody you want to say hi to, the drop-off lane guy. Does that mean you volunteer to wrangle the cars that are dropping off at school? Is that with a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old? They're both in elementary now, so that's cool.
In 32 minutes, I will be leaving my front door to get to school before everyone else to set up the cones and then allow the drop-off lane to operate smoothly and hopefully without any problems. I like to tell people every day is the worst day and the best day of my life in the drop-off lane. It's the best day because I get to see all the kiddos in the morning and say hi, and they say, hi, Mr. Isaac, and I say, good morning, kids. Worst day of my life because parents lose their damn minds in the morning, and I will almost get run over almost every day. Or, you know,
how many times a week? How many times a week do you have to go, no, no, no?
Every day. Every day at least once. And I got some helpers out there. I got some buddies. I mean, I'm kind of the main wrangler. But every day we're screaming our heads off at some parent who, like, you know, yesterday seemed to know how to do it, but today they've lost their damn minds and they can't do it today. So do the teachers
just chill? They're in the back. They're in there, like, having their third cup of coffee while you guys are out front doing all the work? Because at my kid's school, it's the teachers that stand up front. We got, like, 8 of them that man the sidewalk. And we drop off in pods. Like, you get a group of... like 9 or 10 cars, they stop, discharge the kids, and then they move on, and that's how it works. Is it all volunteers at your school?
It's all volunteers. Our school starts at 8 a.m. It's kind of an early start for us, so I think they're just getting in, getting prepped, and I'm happy to let them get ready to teach our students, you know,
okay,
the best experience they can. Same experience, though, with us. We have a lane, you know, so go all the way to the front, people. All the way to the front. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. You know, and we're, like, yelling at people to go all the way to the front. And then get them out quick. Hurry up. Don't chat. Don't dawdle. Just get on out of the car.
No, you're a good dad. You're a good dad. That's awesome.
I love doing it. I love doing it.
Isaac, you are fascinating to talk to. The Talking Head segment, I say it every week, but it's always so much fun. Anybody you want to say hello to before we kick you out of here?
Well, I want to say hello to my neighbor, Brett Sheen. He actually lives just a few blocks away from me, but he has gone to all the Las Vegas shows. He's a big super fan of you guys. Cool. So good morning, Brett. Hope you're doing well today. And just my kids, obviously, Madeline and Ryan, love you guys more than anything. And just anyone who's listening in Sacramento today, you know, in 2 months, it's my birthday. I'll be raising money for the YMCA again on my birthday like I do every year. So go to isaacbikeride.com in February to raise some money for the YMCA just like I do every year.
Awesome. You're a good guy. Good talking to you, man. Yeah. Thank you so much, and continue success. Oh, you were wonderful. Thank you very much, Isaac.
Merry Christmas,
Isaac.
Thank you.
Isaac Gonzalez, everybody. That was fun. God, I love the Talking Head segment. We got to take a break. When we come back, we've got the homepage and more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. That was really, really cool until, you know, Rob was laughing at the inappropriate time, but that's okay, Rob.
I apologize.
This year, spend the holidays with America's favorite family. It's a Cerrito Family Christmas. Featuring the whole Cerrito family. Maureen Donahue Cerrito.
Who wants Christmas cookies?
Jimmy reciting a holiday classic.
Was the night before Christmas and all through the buffalo wing.
A visit from cousin Polly Cerrito.
Forget about it.
The adorable Cindy Lou Cerrito.
Santa Claus, is that you?
And who could forget the tiniest Cerrito? Pony Tim.
God bless us, everyone.
And a special musical appearance by Ozzy Osbourne.
I'm the Prince of Darkness.
A Cerrito Family Christmas is brought to you by the TMOS Holiday Shopping Center. Everything you need to deck the halls, trim the tree, and gifts for the whole family. Shop Target and Walmart by clicking the Holiday Shopping Center banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And from our family to yours, we wish you
Happy Holidays!
A Merry Christmas, everyone!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. If you're looking for ways to skip the trip to the post office and dodge all that holiday shopping traffic, why not save time and money with Stamps.com? Stamps.com lets you compare rates, print labels, and access exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS services all year long. Whether you're selling online or running an office or side hustle, Stamps.com can save you a ton of time, money, and stress during the holidays, especially during the holidays. You can access all the post office and UPS shipping services you need without taking the trip and get exclusive discounts like up to 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS. If you spend more than a few minutes a week dealing with mail and shipping, Stamps.com is a lifesaver. You'll save so much time and money, you will wonder why you didn't start sooner. This is what I want you to do. Save time and money this holiday season with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code TMOS for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale, and no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter the code TMOS. And we thank Stamps.com for being with us a long time. Rob, you used them for the fruitcakes, right?
Not only did they get all the fruitcakes out in a timely, wonderful manner, they also held our hand with a couple questions we had. Their customer service is above reproach. They were fantastic, and thank you to Stamps.com. People are going to start seeing fruitcakes today. And that is because of Stamps.com. We love you, Stamps.com.
We love you, Stamps.com. All right.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, ladies and gentlemen. And Barack and Michelle Obama are the most admired man and woman in the world. That is according to an annual poll by YouGov.com. They also topped the list last year. The top 10 most admired men are Barack Obama, Bill Gates, Chinese Premier Xi Jinping, Peng.
I admire him.
Yeah. Xi Jinping. Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player. Jackie Chan, Elon Musk. Lionel Messi, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and Chinese billionaire Jack Ma.
Did you just sort of gloss over Jackie Chan being in the middle of the most admired men in the world?
I believe this is a numbers game. Well, this is a population game. Numbers.
Like Barack Obama, he does all his own stunts.
Jack Ma. That just Jack sounds Ma. Like somebody that Jackie Gleason. Jack Ma!
Ladies and gentlemen from Miami, Florida, Jack Ma!
Jack Ma. The top 10 women. Michelle Obama, Angelina Jolie, Queen Elizabeth, Oprah, Scarlett Johansson, Emma Watson, Taylor Swift, former German Chancellor Angela Merkel, Malala Yousafzai. I don't know these people.
You don't admire her?
And Priyanka Chopra. They are the women, if you cared about that.
But all it's right. Nice, yeah, that
of course we no care. Don't be chauvinistic. Come on.
No, I talked about everybody, not just the women. Yeah, but
when you said there was a tone to the women.
I didn't mean to have a tone. I'm just doing, you know.
I like
I just
that the top of both lists is a power couple.
Yes.
If you'll notice, I try, and I'm trying more and more, to balance my... What's on your phone? What's going on? What are you doing?
I'm battling out with Matt Bloom about his responsibilities.
What's going on? Is there a problem? You guys have been twitching.
No, there's no problem. Is
everything looking good on the show?
Everything is looking great.
And everything's sounding good?
Quick sidebar. This is what drives me nuts. I asked politely to Pony. I said, hey.
All right, hold. This is not homepage, so I'm stopping the music.
I say.
All right. Thank you.
And look, this is therapeutic for me.
Yes.
So thank you for asking, Mike. Thank you. I asked the Pony. I say, hey, man, like, we've had this conversation about the lights a zillion times. Can we please, for the love, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I'm writing him this during the show. And he writes back, he goes, yes. And I'm like, yes, what? What does that mean? Did I miss something? Is there something I can help you out with? And then he says, I have never missed that light. So he's equating being accountable to the responsibility because he's never missed this light, but he's missed other lights of the 8 lights in the room.
I understand.
And it's driving me up the wall, and I was writing him a sweet note. He said, this is the perfect example of you holding yourself accountable. You give yourself outs because you say that light and not this light. And
I understand. So, I understand.
Please excuse.
Yes. So now you got that accomplished what you were going to do on text.
Yeah, so
he's
now it's done.
Right now.
It's done. Pony? Noted?
Noted.
Okay, thank you.
It's like focusing all the ships that weren't the Arizona at Pearl Harbor.
That's right. No, but and you look good now. You look really good.
Thank you.
Look normal. It looks
thank
like
you.
A normal.
Yeah.
Well, good to
show.
Normal is sort of a step down, but I'll take it.
But when someone literally tells you, but I've never missed that one.
I totally understand. I understand. You know, this floor is not completely clean. Well, I've never missed that particular tile.
Yeah. Can't you focus on the part of the floor that I did mop?
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, the
you
music.
Express yourself
Start
well. Do you feel better?
Thank you. I feel better. Thank you.
All right. So I try to build the homepage from kind of the normal, interesting, dignified stories occasionally, and I'll work myself up to something that's not something that might be embarrassing even to share on the news.
Sort of an inverted pyramid.
Yeah, now we're kind of making, this is what I would call a transition story.
Nice.
As we go into a little bit of the ridiculous, but it's not. It's a legitimate news story.
All right.
Seems like the kind of thing that can only happen in cartoons, but it happened to Flavor Flav. And, you know, he's kind of cartoonish, so maybe it makes sense. Flav was driving through Latuna Canyon near L.A. yesterday.
It means the tuna.
When rain caused a boulder to roll down the side of a cliff and smash into the front passenger side of Flav's ride.
This is bad luck.
It did a good deal of damage to the car, but it could have done a lot worse. Flav says he, quote, came very close to death and is super grateful to be alive. No word on whether that giant watch protected him from his clock
the
that
boulder,
he wears around his neck. So,
the boulder almost cleaned his clock.
Another transition story. Here we go. A study looked at how many A study looked at how many injuries different types of toys have caused over the last 5 years. This might be good for Isaac and fathers and mothers out there.
All the A-folds.
Scooters.
Really?
Scooters, like the ones made by the brand Razor, have caused over 190,000 injuries since 2016.
I hope Opie and Anthony are okay.
That includes injuries to kids. This is a very inside line. They used to, didn't they run around with Razor scooters
yes,
all
they
the
did.
Time?
Yes, they did. They loved it.
They loved
it.
Those. Balls. Our next with 108,000 injuries. That includes footballs, baseballs, every other type of balls. So the fact that scooters have racked up almost twice as many victims than balls is pretty impressive.
I thought for a second balls might have been the injury.
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure, though, for the ball.
I've tripped over an electric scooter in the city at a crosswalk.
They're dangerous.
Yeah.
You'll stop, and then you look around because you're looking for cars.
And people,
right.
And then someone will have stopped. This is what happened 2 weeks ago. Stopped in front of me, left their scooter there, put the kickstand up, and I'm not thinking they're going to put it in the middle of the, leaving the sidewalk to the crosswalk.
Right.
And I stumbled onto the street.
The city.
The city.
You could have been one of the 190,000.
That
could have happened,
I was like, should I sue Bird? I don't have time. Moving on.
Thank God a boulder didn't fall on you.
Yeah.
Two cars, toy cars rather. Toy cars like Hot Wheels are next, followed by building sets, choking hazards. That's the reason. Frisbees and boomerangs are fifth, followed by games and game parts, dolls, action figures, everything. But really, scooters are far and away the worst toys.
Number 11 is Mattel's little baby COVID. It was also a very bad toy to have.
Yeah. It's a cute little character. It's called Omicron. Ketchup, who is the most into ketchup in
My
here?
My father.
Your father loves ketchup?
I love ketchup.
On just in the case that he runs out, he will impulse buy ketchup at the grocery store. And I've seen his pantry, and there'll be like bottles of ketchup in a row because he's scared to run out.
I only like it on
fries. Recent poll, Rob. What's that, Oscar?
Fries.
I'm sorry?
French fries and maybe a bad steak.
Hamburger for me and French fries.
Yeah.
I can enjoy it. A recent poll. Ask people about some unusual ketchup pairings. I'll throw these out at you. I'll start with 9 because it's the worst.
Yeah.
Cake.
Oh.
1% said they try it on cake.
No.
Number 8, meatloaf, 73%.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you said. Meatloaf is essentially a all hamburger, day. So all I day. Go with that, yeah.
Popcorn, ever try ketchup on popcorn? Anyone?
No. Yeah.
Scrambled eggs. I've used
eggs and ketchup. Sure. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, eggs and ketchup, if you've never tried it, try it. I think it's one of the best uses of ketchup.
Yeah.
Not all the time. No, not at all.
No, every day.
Salad.
Ketchup salad.
Gross. Gross.
Only 3% said they could get behind that.
Yeah.
Pasta. That's disgusting.
Wasn't Sketty when what was the show about the little girl that was the beauty queen with Mama June? I can't think of the name of the girl.
Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah, Honey Boo Boo. Didn't they do Sketty and it was butter noodles and ketchup? That was like her snack, I think.
Rice. Have you ever put ketchup on rice?
Probably.
No.
Probably.
Tacos?
No.
8% of people for tacos, so not a lot. 37% of people said grilled cheese. They would put ketchup on grilled cheese.
No, because you're trying
to
approximate.
Would it be a tomato bisque?
Yeah. What you want is tomato soup, and they're trying to approximate that. But you know what? Do without.
All right. I have successfully transitioned now to. How about my mouth works too?
Okay.
I have successfully transitioned to the story that I'm not proud of today.
All right.
I share this because it's been all over social media, and I share it with you now. The lady's name is Stephanie Motto. She's a hottie. She's from TLC's 90 Day Fiancé franchise.
Yeah, sure.
And she is now selling her farts in jars. Mm. This is nasty. Yep. This is where the shock jock in me just will never grow up.
Sure.
Where I will never have dignity in my career.
Yeah.
She claims she made $45,000 in a single week off of her flatulence. In an Instagram video titled, A Day in the Life of a Girl Who Sells Her Farts in a Jar.
That's a clever name.
Mm.
So dumb. But she reveals the tools of her trade, which include organic protein, beans, a protein muffin, yogurt, and hard-boiled eggs. Once she consumes all of that, she waits for... Who are you texting now? Did you get
I'm
it out of your system?
I'm looking at Stephanie Mata. This is an attractive young lady.
Yeah, she's very attractive. That's why. But all that stuff she eats, she waits for her body to gas up. Then she lets it rip. She puts flower petals in the jar because they, quote, attach the scent and make it last longer.
I would only buy her farts if they came with ketchup.
Each jar comes
she's
with
so
a personal.
Pretty. Let me see which one it is.
Yes, she's very pretty.
I mean, she's like super pretty.
Oh, yeah, I know her from the Fiancé show. Yeah, I hate that
show. Each jar comes with a personal note.
Sure. Sucker.
In a follow-up video, Stephanie said that the farts last about 2 days. And she thinks people want to buy her farts because she has a good personality and she's hot.
Well, hold on. What does she mean they last about 2 days? What, do they go bad?
I guess it dissipates.
Well, you got to keep the jar sealed, I would think.
Oh, now you're grossing me out. I don't need to know how you seal it. Like that. She also claims to have filled and sold 97 jars so far. And in an interview with In Touch Weekly, she says she's made more than $90,000 to date. If you're interested in buying one of Stephanie's farts in a jar, you're not getting the address.
Thank you.
You sick F.
Mike.
Thank you.
All 90 of those purchases, the people who bought them should be on some sort of watch list.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but we
I
have
agree.
To have like one little asterisk as citizens to figure out what's going on.
Hey, it got here. Gross. Absolutely disgusting.
And also a fire hazard.
Okay, very good. Now a little something something. You have a very funny energy today, Rob. A Mississippi woman says she cried for a week after she accidentally live streamed herself having sex with her husband on Facebook.
Aww.
Dozens of Facebook friends tuned in to view the X-rated romp, including her own dad.
Mm. Oh, dad.
The woman explained that she was browsing Facebook before her husband snuck up on her and they began to get a little amorous. In the heat of the moment, she didn't realize that she'd gone live.
Oh, dear.
The Mississippi mama says her dad initially ignored the fact that he had tuned into his daughter's lusty live stream. He just didn't talk about it. And then her quote is that dad said when he realized what was going on, he just got off and acted like it never happened. Maybe a bad choice of words
let's rephrase that.
But He has made one joke about it. Otherwise, he hasn't spoken about it. Those words as far as getting offline.
Yeah.
Probably not a good word for dad leaving the feed. But anyway, the family is fine, and they all had Thanksgiving dinner together.
Oh.
No turkey. Just finger food. I don't know why I said that.
Gross, Mike.
What is the matter with you?
It makes no sense. I just
it makes sometimes more sense than you know.
It's like painting. You know, you just go with it.
The mortifying side is that you can on Facebook look and see who has watched your video.
That's true.
So yes. There is record, and I imagine when she saw her father, she was like, whoa.
Yeah. And anyway, anybody who's watched my live feeds, yes. Please, if you order farts in a jar. We got to take a break. We will come back. We got a lot to get to.
Plenty.
A lot to unpack.
I hate
the
that
Mike O'Bara show when we come back.
Woo!
It's a picture of Carla from Vegas or New Orleans.
Yeah, nice and dark.
The thing about it is he's got that big Dirk energy.
Big Dirk energy, yes!
That was good.
The Mike O'Mara Show podcast is chock full of laughs and stories. Every episode improves your mood, lifts your spirits, and gives you more male vitality. But for maximum impact, you have to subscribe to the TMOS bonus show. Only then can you get
Big Dirk energy.
Get hard or your money back.
It's P1 Hall of Famer Dirk Vastrick. Big Dirk energy is a real thing. I've been listening for almost 12 years, and the TMOS bonus show always puts a smile on my face, a spring in my step, and let's just say there haven't been any complaints in the bedroom.
Ooh, yeah!
Subscribe to the TMOS bonus show today and get Big Dirk energy. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
It's electric. Woogie, woogie, woogie.
I gotta tell you something. You know that expression, there haven't been any complaints in the bedroom? Well, you don't know that because women don't complain. They're not going to tell you if there are complaints in the bedroom.
I disagree.
You know?
I disagree.
Oh, yeah.
You think women are going to tell you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Often.
That was the terrible clapping push-ups last night. Maybe you want to work out, get a little more stamina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right front on my Facebook wall. Hey, yeah. Nice job. Not
all
really.
Right. I stand corrected.
Last
welcome back to the
okay.
Mike. Yes, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Tommy John. Can't decide what to give your friends and family this year? Wish them a merry softness and happy new rear with new comfy underwear, loungewear, and PJs from Tommy John. Tommy John loungewear's luxuriously soft tri-blend and micromodal fabrics mean four-way stretch and no lint balls or fuzz. With over 17 million pairs sold, giving the gift of Tommy John underwear and loungewear has become a holiday tradition for families all across the country. 97% of women and men love getting a gift from Tommy John. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They've got fanatics.
Yes.
Returns and exchanges are free, and you get Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Get $25 off site-wide, plus free shipping right now at TommyJohn.com/TMOS. That's TommyJohn.com/TMOS for $25 off site-wide, plus free shipping. Order now so your gifts arrive before the holidays. TommyJohn.com/TMOS. See the site for details. And thank you, Tommy John. We are very, very proud
to
have you as an advertiser on The Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, my God. I don't know. I want to get to this or I'll forget.
All right.
Because it was Oscar maybe 2-3 days ago that came on the show and laid out a reco for a movie called The Unforgivable.
It's on Netflix, right?
Netflix, Sandra Bullock, new thing. Now, I sit down with my bride to watch this show. Every time I get something and I select something, there's a bit of a back and forth between my wife and I. I pretty much bring a lot of content ideas to what we're going to watch together, and she will bring one too from friends, but not as much as I do.
Isn't she sort of a passive viewer too? Because she'll be on her phone.
She's a passive viewer. Yeah, she is. She's not as into it as I will
Carrie's
be if I
the
see
same
something.
Way, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's certainly a little negative energy that comes to the table too, where, oh, I don't, no, I don't want to, no. And, do you get the same thing from Carrie when
sometimes.
You're trying to tackle a show? You got to sell them on it to a degree, right?
And then, but the beauty is if you can sell them and get them in, then they're with you for the ride.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would trade that up in a heartbeat. My wife is a dumpster for content. She's just she'll watch anything they make. She'll take it all on. She'll watch a season in a night. It's like her escape.
Well, might want to warn Twitch and Amato not to chop that out.
Yeah.
You know,
but
that
Carrie also, she is a very passive viewer. She'll be very happy to put on Below Deck for 2 hours and kind of halfway watch it. Yeah. And I say, we're wasting our time.
Yeah, so that's a show you can do that with. Yeah. You can surf the net and watch
Invasion,
Below Deck.
For example, you just finished Invasion.
Yeah.
I was like, well, if Mike's into Invasion, now I should get into Invasion. Maybe we can talk about it on the show.
Right.
And then I go up, boop, boop, our Apple TV subscription, boop, boop, which we share. Boop, boop. And then it's up on screen. I was like, all 10 episodes watched. And I said, when did you watch this? When did this happen?
You were probably doing something, staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning and not paying attention to her, and she knocked it out there, you know?
Yeah.
So the first thing, the reason I brought this up is, A, I want to thank Oscar for the reco because I thought he was spot on. And the movie, but the second part of this is, right before we're going to turn it on, Carla, because she likes to have a little give and take, goes to Rotten Tomatoes and sees something like a 40%, 45% critic score. And I'm just here to tell you that the more I realize that, the more you just got to throw critics away and dance to your own drummer. Or I might be missing something that the critics are trying to find. There's so many crap movies that get raves by critics.
Why would she try to diffuse something you're excited to watch?
Because we're making the decision. I've gotten the recommendation from Oscar.
Right.
I'm sitting down, and this is going to be a couple of hours of our evening, and she's just... I gotta sell it a little bit. And then, you know, you put it on for 5 minutes, and I just thought the movie was really good. Was it great? No. There's some holes in the suspension of disbelief. There's some plot flaws, but nothing over the top. And Sandra Bullock, I think, is a compelling actress, and Oscar felt the same way. Yes, it was dark, but I just loved it. I really enjoyed it. I was compelled. I was interested. You know?
I feel like Rotten Tomatoes at times, if it's, and this is not, you know my politics, Mike, this is not an indictment on being respectful or open-minded or looking for the right themes. This is an indictment on if it's not happy and if it's not woke enough and if it's not compelling enough, if it's just a good movie, Rotten Tomatoes won't get on, the critics will not get on their soapboxes and scream about it.
Is the old phrase, and it goes way back into the 40s, nobody liked it but the public. You know, you got
and the public gives it like 85%.
See, and that's audience what you gotta score. Go with. Yeah.
And by the way, they used to on Rotten Tomatoes, they used to combine the audience score and
as an average.
Okay.
As an average, and they don't seem to do that, anymore.
I like the split now, and for years, you'd always reference that, and you know, millions of Americans and people around the world go to that score. Where I even remember at one point, people were shopping a film. They would say, "Please give it 100% coming out of the critic score, which comes first,
right?
Because or else they'll never have a chance on the other side of this,
right?
And that's how powerful they were. But this movie, straight to Netflix, for Netflix. And Sandra Bullock, who I think is an underrated actress and has a body of work that most actors, working actors, would love to have.
Of course, yeah.
Right.
Like, the fact that I can buy into her being this physical and having this gritty a background was effing great.
And
it was fun.
You've got your finger on the pulse. Do you think Rotten Tomatoes is less influential than it was, say, 5 years ago?
And
is it will walk it hand in hand?
Well, I mean, going to movies is not the thing it used to be.
That has changed the entire paradigm.
With the streaming platforms and all of that stuff, that also has diffused the power of Rotten Tomatoes, yeah?
Yeah, Mike, I we might have talked about this on air, and if it was off air, my apologies. But the idea that theaters, especially with the new variant and what's happening, will still stay in the same business model they are today is probably unlikely. The most, and this is not an original thought, this is something I've read, the most probable thing is for the theaters to, you know, kind of die on the vine and large companies like Netflix or Disney to come in and buy the theaters. And if you take those theaters, I think this is Mark Cuban's thought process. I want to give him credit. Imagine if Disney and Netflix owned the theaters and you bought a subscription, wouldn't you pay a premium subscription to either watch it at home or go to the theater?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would do that. I think it's a neat idea. You know, it's,
that goes
it's
back to the way they established theaters when there would be a theater that would only
show MGM
yes. movies or something like that.
I mean, I'm looking on the new releases and just the lowest rated movie here. I mean, there are other movies on there. Of course, West Side Story gets 93%. Of course they do.
But
how could they get anything else? We've got the Rita Moreno PR tour that's gone on for 6 months. You know, I mean, that's just the way it goes.
It's getting
I mean,
with these types. Bad reviews, though.
It is?
Yes.
Mixed
West
reviews.
Side Story?
Mixed reviews, yeah.
All right, hold on a second. Let me look.
I would have been there if not for the Omicron. I would love to see it. It's got a great score.
93% of critics, 95% of audiences. No, it's not getting bad reviews.
Score meaning it's music.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it the music or?
No, I was going to say, you based on the music alone, I think you've got something that is viable. I'm just curious to see what
maybe
it does
it's the box office, Mike. I saw a terrible, I think they made it like a
horribly disappointing box office, but still number one, but no one's going to the movie. So it all has to be taken with a
the only movie I can find here that is getting a lower score than The Unforgivable is Resident Evil, Welcome to the Raccoon. That's the only movie that I can find that's getting lower.
Mike, it's but to be fair, as far as 2021 goes, it's the best raccoon movie out there.
Exactly.
Mike, are you? Did you say 93% of what's West Side Story?
Yes.
That's from 1961.
Oh, the new one. and it's coming soon because it hasn't come out yet, right?
No, it dropped last Friday.
It just dropped last Friday.
Yeah.
It did. All right, hold on. So it's not top box office. Let's say, sorry about that. You know, I've got to. Let me see.
Are they building a house?
I know. Very busy day in the.
No, that's the first one that comes up. So I see what he's saying.
That is so great. Well, you know, that movie does deserve a high
rating. West Side Story 2021. Let me check it, Oscar. Yeah.
Please.
No, 93% and 95%.
2021?
2021, yes, absolutely.
Jesus. Hmm.
Yeah. 261 reviews, 93%, 95% with 1,000 plus verified ratings. By the way, because The Unforgivable is getting such crappy reviews by critics and a better audience score, I reviewed it.
I actually reviewed it
and said some good things about it because it's just interesting. All I want is a movie to, here's what doesn't hold my interest.
All right.
Empty plot, bad acting, bad cinematography, all those things. I'll jettison. But if you have an interesting character development and it's, you know, it has a level of credibility to it, I'm fine. And by the way, this movie crafted because it's got a little plot twist in it, too. It's
very interesting.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, so she chooses good projects. So
this is what I'd like. I would love if you check this movie out because Oscar and I are standing behind this movie.
Yes.
If you and Rob, I'd sure love you to take a look.
Okay.
If you, and be honest, if you think it's a clunker, because a clunker, clunker.
We've got a clinker.
Let me know. We got to take a break. But let me know if you like this movie because I'd really like to know because I'm really smelling a rat with this ridiculously low number that it's getting, and it's not that bad a movie to get that kind of a horrible score.
Spielberg is running a smear campaign.
No, I'm not talking about West Side Story. I'm talking about The Unforgivable.
Yeah, but he's smearing The Unforgivable so people go see West Side Story.
Go to the theater.
He's evil. No, he's not. All right, anyway, we'll be right back.
I'm dreaming of a Mike Christmas.
That's it. Back to you, Mike.
Who was that?
That was Rick Schofield.
I love it.
Just brief.
I thought Rick had a band.
He plays music. I don't know if he's in a band or not.
It was a solo.
Yeah.
But that was a solo effort.
That was interesting.
Pretty.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. What the hell was that? I like it. Hey, it's new. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, I love it when I haven't heard it before. This portion of the program is brought to you by Public.com. Have you ever noticed how difficult and confusing it can be to start investing? There are so many barriers to get started, especially with crypto. That's why Oscar and Rob join Public.com. They can start small with slices of shares and then invest in what they believe in. It's what they believe in. Hold on a second.
We invest in what we believe in. What is so cool about Public? Imagine
they can start small with slices of shares and invest in what they believe with any amount.
No.
Believe in with any amount? I'll fix it.
No end.
Pay the man.
What is so great about it is imagine you have like a Facebook feed, but it's just people offering insight to what to do. And then you can share all your information.
Buy the dip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. When you invest on public.com, you're never alone. Choose from thousands of stocks and ETFs, along with 10 popular cryptocurrencies, and public.com takes your privacy seriously. They don't participate in payment for order flow. That's when brokerages sell your trades to third parties. Instead, public.com routes your trades to the exchanges directly, so there's no middleman. Public.com invests with confidence. Start investing with as little as a dollar and get a free slice of stock up to $50 when you join public.com today. Visit public.com/TMOS to download the app and sign up using the code TMOS. That's public.com/TMOS, code and code TMOS.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Is it public.com?
You use it twice.
Yes.
You use that to log in and then you use the code.
Okay, let me just double check that. I want to make sure.
Please.
I've got it right.
Yeah.
That's public.com/TMOS and code TMOS?
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Throw an also in there and also the code TMOS.
Okay.
Valid for U.S. residents 18 plus, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures, not investment advice. And fix all of that.
Will of you course.
That would
yeah.
be mm-hmm. helpful. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Ted Lasso, sorry, late to the party, wrapping it up again with the show, coming over to the fluffy side with the program. I think it's just, I don't know if I'm going to last.
You will, with Lasso. And I'll tell you why. Because right. they have done, and I've said this before, and I'll just restate it briefly, done the most amazing job on Ted Lasso of any show in the last mm-hmm. 20 years of creating a palette of characters that you care about.
Okay.
And you're going to stay caring about them through the entire run. You're going to care about them at the season finale. And also, the mood that I get when I watch Ted Lasso, and I've rewatched some of it, it has an Andy Griffith Show vibe, that it has a positivity that is going to make it last as far as a creative entity. Because the Andy Griffith Show still holds up 60 years later. And
well,
I think Ted Lasso
God
is the same
God knows we
way.
Need that.
Yeah.
God knows we need that. But I do think it's valid to say they have to be careful to be not... To not over sugar the
they
cotton candy.
They walk the line, but they always seem to stay on the line.
I like him going dark too. I like him going
a
little
too.
Dark.
I do too. Because
that
you know,
works
it was
for
based,
me.
It was based
like
what the thing that threw me at first,
and I'm
was,
not done yet. I want to warn you.
Okay,
about that.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything about plot, but I was anti Lasso when it came out. When I found out it was based on a series of fake Saturday Night Live style promos they did for NBC Sports. That was
right.
a character event. And I said, well, you can't build a sitcom on that. That's horrible. Mm. But I think he has gone deeper and found sort of the inner cookie of Ted Lasso. And when you talk about, there is a certain darkness, there is a certain sadness that balances the sweetness. And I think they do a marvelous job. I've not been affected by a sitcom like that.
It was fascinating.
I like the British angle of it.
You
I love too.
You
the
love Ted Lasso, and you don't like, what's the Paul Rudd show?
The Shrink Next Door.
Right.
So I hate that. It's not that I hate that show. It's that I think that I just have trouble with the overplaying Will Ferrell.
One of our friends and production partners, Ann Pasmanic, was in. She listens to this show. She's a,
every
she's
day.
A big fan. She's super supportive.
Awesome.
She stopped me and said, I think if you look at the show in a different manner, that it's based on a true story. The Shrink Next Door.
Right.
It'll
yeah.
give you a different perspective. I did not know it was based on a
yeah.
true story.
And actually,
yeah,
there's a podcast that is almost a documentary. Yeah, yeah, podcast.
All right. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to put the nail in that. So
and
much
Will
good
Ferrell,
content
the thing
right
about
now.
Will Ferrell is, again, he is not the best part by far in that, but I think that the rest of it offsets it. The only other projects I like with Will Ferrell, I can think of two, Elf and The Producers, he's the weak link.
Jackie
but the,
Moon.
But the projects themselves.
You're not
are
an
great.
Anchorman fan?
Not really.
See, I cannot laugh
I love
at Anchorman.
Yeah.
I cannot laugh.
But you know
what?
It's okay. But again,
you know what I cannot laugh at too is my hair. This is a day without product after I get out of the shower, and I'm like, I can't do that again. I'm starting to. I look like seriously. I slept in a refrigerator box last night.
Yesterday, you had a better hair day. I will say that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I'm not, look, you know what I'm doing? I went to the Angry Barber, and then I came back, and then I hacked at the sides myself because I was so frustrated.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, Mike,
I don't want to go back because I don't want to go back to the Angry Barber again. And I'm not, because I thought it was a bad haircut. And I can deal with a bad haircut
if
somebody's super pleasant. But if you're angry and you're giving me a haircut, you know, I don't want to deal with you again. And I'm talking about just pure, not almost like masked rage between
this person. He should watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah. Why don't I, maybe I'll go into the barber and I'll be Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Well, I guess somebody's got the Christmas critties, you know, and just walk in and go like that. Hey, how you doing? Hey, well, fantastic. Well, I guess somebody got their finger. Hey, who put their light bulb? Who put their finger in the light socket today? All right, looks like you're having a tough day.
Mike, bring in some cookies in a little box.
Here you go. Maybe some biscuits, you and your mama sat down and hashed things out, you know, maybe your emotions wouldn't get clipped, just the hair would. Anyway, I smell another bit coming on. There we go. Yeah. Fantastic. But we'll see. So anyway, I'll be caught up. How many goddamn episodes are there? I'm on like 8.
Two seasons of 10, right?
Yeah. All right. So I got two maximum more episodes. And they're setting me up for that thing you spoiled for me. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Makes me aware of the spoiler more, because now I've just been looking for that the entire time.
Well, the Sex and the City episode, you know the spoiler, right?
The spoiler alert of Sex and the City?
Yeah, for the new release.
The new one?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, there's a massive spoiler, which
I'm not going to watch Sex and the City, even though I dated the lady that created
for those
it.
That's all you need.
That's all. You've done. You've been there, done that.
That's right. Just an afternoon with a star.
She's old like me.
So, in the second, again, turn your radio off. In the second episode,
yes,
I knew going into this, because it's a big to-do in the business world, because a big dies after his 1,000th ride on a Peloton. And it is, if you're a fan, it is a pivotal scene in the show.
But Peloton is out of their mind.
Yeah, because they already have bad press.
Right.
Their kids are being dragged on their treadmills.
That's funny.
And Peloton had no idea this was happening, but they let one of their instructors on to be part of the show because they thought it was exposure for the show.
So they got him. They bit him in the ass.
Did you see the press release?
Yeah, they turned around and put an ad like within 24 hours. It's a great business story. How do you turn around a message? The spoiler is something I knew as I watched my wife watch this series.
You knew that he was going to buy the farm.
Yes. Yeah,
and sometimes Shane likes talking during shows, which drives me nuts. But I don't really care about this program.
As he said earlier, Mike, she's a dumpster for content.
and I like that Carrie Fisher is now a podcaster. That's fine. And then I'm watching this happen, and I see it's like watching a train.
Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah, I see the character.
Candace Bushnell.
Yes.
Candy, you call her.
Well, no, she doesn't like that anymore.
And Big is about to die. And I'm watching my wife watch
Chris Noth.
This happen, and I'm looking at her because you can't help but think of your husband or anybody else passing, right?
Yeah. And what's the reaction you
got? The waterworks, the blubbering, and I'm inside dying because I knew this was going to happen the entire time.
You know, you're selling this for those that don't care about the spoiler alert. Yeah. You're selling this because I'd be kind of curious to look in on it.
Meanwhile, Peloton is saying he spent the previous 20 years drinking and smoking. it's very unlikely that the Peloton probably extended his life.
All right, let's take a break. That's funny. That's funny. Is that how they changed the message?
Yeah, that's
around?
It. They did. They talked about his previous lifestyle, but that the Peloton didn't kill him.
Oh, that was a congenital defect. There you go.
Chris Knoth.
Chris Knoth. I don't know why that's funny, but it is. We have to take a break. We'll come back with the Sound Town right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, this is Morgan Freeman, and a lot of people ask me, what is your favorite holiday tradition? Well, I'll tell you. I love to gather the whole family around and serve my favorite Christmas beverage, a big piping hot mug of mulled wine. Mmm, that's right. Cinnamon sticks, spices, delicious. And if you drink five or six of them, you get a really good buzz. Then we have some edibles. And boy, does the high last a long time after that. Yes, there's nothing quite as nice as mulled wine followed by getting high with family and friends during the holiday season. Happy Christmas to each and every one of you, and make sure that you read the card when you open the gift, all right? Well, I know it's not a birthday. Just read the card. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Morgan. We appreciate it.
Morgan almost laughed during that.
Yes, he did. The holidays, mulled wine and edibles. The holidays are all about coming together and creating the magic of the season. This year, KiwiCo invites your family to make the holidays a little more hands-on and a lot more fun, all while learning a thing or two along the way. KiwiCo is the one-stop gift shop for your kid and kids of every interest and age. Kids can discover the mechanics behind everyday objects, learn the science of cooking, explore new cultures, and practice new art and design techniques, all through seriously fun hands-on projects. Give a KiwiCo subscription and celebrate learning all year long. Your child can get super cool science, art, and geography projects delivered to their door every month. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo does the legwork for you. This holiday season, give the gift of a fun, hands-on holiday experience with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line with code TMOS at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code TMOS. Hey, everybody! Sound Town!
Did you hear that?
Listen, what's that sound?
The big sound in the big town.
The sound. Sound.
There's a new sound.
Sound.
Sound. Sound.
Sound. What a sound.
Sound.
The sound.
That's the sound.
Sound.
Sound Town.
2,974, Mike.
Is that a song from Rent?
No, actually, Stephon Curry last night broke the all-time NBA record for three-point shots. 2,974 shots.
What a moment.
It was great. It was really
good. He's a good guy.
Curry for the record. It's good! There it is! Stephon Curry! The all-time three-point king in the NBA!
Three-pointer number 2,974. The man who changed the game.
I don't think that record will be beaten.
The three-point revolution in the NBA. Well, and now he stands alone.
This is what's fascinating.
Of the three-point list.
That and I was watching Dominique on Get Up this morning ESPN. And he was at the game. He highlighted this from a marketing standpoint.
Right.
He said the NBA does everything right. They had the previous record holders there on hand for this. It happens at the Garden. It happened in New York.
Couldn't have scripted it.
And then they have the family. Everything is just laid in to get maximum exposure. Where it just feels like every other sport, even the NFL, wouldn't have every other record holder there in a magnanimous way to hug Curry and say hello, right?
Meanwhile, the Washington football team has been cited for blocking the investigation. So it's been a big week in sports.
Good for Curry, though.
After the game, Curry said he wasn't nervous about the second. He needed to do two last night to break the record. He wasn't nervous about getting the second one, but he was very nervous about the first, that if he shot one and missed, that was going to spoil his night. So once he got the first one, he was ready to go. So I thought that
very
was a
cool.
great match. But that's not my favorite NBA story. Is when you turned into the pregame on TNT last night, Shaq was wearing a wig. A black,
like a legitimate wig?
A black, no, yes. Like a black curly lady's wig.
Yes.
And they, of course, they asked him about it.
Shaquille O'Neal, I know there's got to be a story behind this.
Yeah, he's a damn idiot.
You promise not to laugh?
I promise.
I was leaving my house the other day and a hawk attacked me.
You didn't get attacked by a hawk.
Stop it. Look, I'm going to show you. Zoom in.
So you put a wig on?
Bro, I can't be sitting up here with a Band-Aid on my head.
So instead of a
Band-Aid.
That makes you look better with a wig.
How did it really happen?
Okay, I was walking and I didn't see the exit sign. I scraped a chunk of meat off my head.
Chunk of meat off my head.
That's excellent look there, man.
No,
is it back?
X marks the spot.
Bigger.
Yeah, it's back.
Like stitches?
No, just scrape.
just to scrape a chunk off of his
so
head.
So tall, he runs into exit signs.
And you know the kind we're talking about, right? The kind that's hanging down,
sure, yeah.
Aluminum, yeah. Like, yes, digs into your,
yes,
head. Everything that man does, someday, well, the greatest gift, Rob, you would ever give to me, and you too, Oscar, if you want to help, would be to get that man,
Shaq,
on the show.
They do the opening shot, and he's just sitting there in his coat and tie and a wig.
That's it. I just love my the favorite guy. I just love every. He just fills me with joy. With anytime
anything
I see him on camera. Absolutely.
Congratulations to the Apple Corporation.
According to the latest numbers, Apple is set to become the world's first company with a market value of more than $3 trillion. And almost $2 trillion of that comes from chargers left in hotel rooms.
Mike, I got a press release, and the subject line, how do you not open it? It says, Christmas Carols from Hell. And so these, I would like to play for you the three, by this list, most hellish Christmas carols, and I want you
to evil,
no,
like
just,
kind of give an evil
just,
vibe,
no,
or
just
what?
Bad. And I
bad.
Yeah,
all
I'd like for you to name the artist if you can. Here's right. We'll go three, moving up to number one. Number three.
Right. Of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card.
Slim Whitman.
No, his voice should be higher. I'll give you that hint.
God, I have no idea.
Tiny Tim. The late Tiny Tim.
Was here. That recorded late in life?
I believe Tiny Tim's Christmas album might have been his last effort. Yes.
Be wise.
Not so tiny. Mm.
No. Okay,
all
moving
right,
on.
Number two.
Come, they told me,
oh, God.
I hate this song when it's done well, so.
Is it Pee-wee?
No.
It's my son's favorite.
Really?
It might be my wife's favorite.
Not so great. Okay, I'll give you a hint. American Idol.
Our finest gifts we bring.
Not a winner.
Oh, William Hung.
Exactly. Might give yourself a ding. You win.
Thank you.
You win.
William,
nice.
William Hung. That's it.
Deep cut.
All
thank
right.
You. Thank you very much.
And Mike, the number one Christmas carol from hell.
Now the ground is white. Go in while you're young. Take
William Shatner.
Yes. He's 90.
What's the song?
It's Jingle Bells with William Shatner featuring Henry Rollins.
And crack, you'll take the lead.
Are we not in the Christmas spirit?
I may be tomorrow.
Okay.
Tonight.
What happens tonight that makes tomorrow you in the spirit?
I am taking the family to an evening performance. Michael will be up late. A 7:30 show down here at a local dinner theater called Holly Jolly Christmas.
Now, is it a? The last time I went to a dinner theater, it was a Pennsylvania Dutch all-you-can-eat dinner theater. What kind of dinner theater is this?
This may be the same company.
Really?
And I am not exaggerating. This has a Pennsylvania-like sister operation. I know that. I know that for a fact.
Is it like a review? Does it have a plot? What is it?
It's the Broadway Palm Dinner Theater. I don't mind giving them a plug.
Please.
Although they're giving me nothing. They're just making me overpay for tickets. And this was the only night where they had three seats at a table together where you go in and you get your chow.
Right.
And then you have it's dinner and a show.
Do you know when I was in New York for my anniversary, a lady on the street approached me and offered me a Broadway palm?
Don't you have a wonderful memory of going to see the Boston Pops during the holidays?
I did.
Yeah,
with my
sister.
That
was in Boston.
When we found out my mom was going to be okay.
Yeah,
and my sister and I came back together and we're driving by and her place is very close to where they do the Boston Pops.
Yeah.
And we got a same night ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so special.
Yeah.
It was actually a very, very warm, touching moment with my sister. The only one I've ever had.
Mike, don't you love when technology is used to advance modern conveniences and people really
100%
they embrace the modern and they use it appropriately?
Yes.
Here's a woman using Alexa for the best possible way.
Alexa, CW Network, please.
I couldn't find CW Network.
Well, where can I watch the Waltons at?
Here's what I found.
No, that's cartoons. That's SpongeBob. I don't want cartoons.
So, Mike, remember, when you're talking to Alexa, don't end your sentence with a preposition. Where can I watch the Waltons at?
Where can I watch the Waltons at?
Where can I watch them Waltons at? Mike, that's all I got.
And Alexa said, I could lie down and roll over for ye.
Now leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
That's it. We got to get out of here. And, I hope... I need to get, like, the Christmas spirit supercharged. It's come up on me rather quickly. That's all I can tell you.
It seems like a short December.
It's been a short December. My kids were here at Thanksgiving. That was the, you know.
And Mike, where can I watch the Waltons at?
Yeah, and tomorrow I'll tell you how tonight goes and tell you about, I have an 8-year-old madman that I'm living with.
Oh, I have a question for you about him, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
so that's good.
I didn't get to the part, Ben. I don't know if he's in school tomorrow. I can talk about it. He wants one particular item for Christmas. It's a reptile.
Ooh. Oh.
So you probably already know what he wants, but Mama doesn't, but
Velociraptor?
Daddy might break down. Yes.
Baby.
For Rob Spielwag and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Gary Krimble.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Make good choices!
Good night, ladies.
Good night!